The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised.
Ladies and gentlemen, will you please put your hands together for the
Broadcast. A beautiful game from her point of view. Broadcast. Amy Walls, Claire Rustad, and Rian Wilkinson too. Broadening perspectives, horizons, and minds. Broadcast. You're tuned into the Broadcast on Footy Prime.
None.
Record button is just pounding.
The record button is on, and I don't know what's coming out of my mouth today. Just letting you guys know in advance.
The Broadcast, unhinged with Shereen Ahmed and Amy Walsh. Oh my God, this would be Claire's favorite episode ever. And this would be the episode that Rian would not show up to. Rian would be like, what are you guys doing? No, I'm not. I can't do that.
But Claire would be Claire's going to pop on in her like
in a painter hat.
In her kids' Minecraft costume.
Yeah, either in her kids' Minecraft costume.
And she'll be like, either she'll be like, I pie or retiled my bathroom. There's two things that she could come out doing.
Yeah. Or it'll be occasionally when we get Claire on the Broadcast and then she's actually in a doctor's office.
Yes. And like the stirrups are there, which are very disturbing.
I know. We're going to spread these topics wide open here in Broadcast.
<Ba-dum-bum>.
Our brains are dilated, friends.
Right.
And that's where we begin.
Yeah, we will birth some new content here. Okay, so let's start. We're going to dive into NSL matchups because that's starting this weekend, the first ever NSL playoffs. So we've got Ottawa at Vancouver. That is Tuesday, November 4th. I don't know why I started there, you guys, but I started on the West Coast. And then we've also got Stade Boreal, where Montreal is hosting Supporters Shield winning AFC Toronto. And then what's a big thing? I was just talking to somebody about this. So they flip-flop for the following weekend, November 8th and 9th, and it'll be Vancouver-Toronto on 4 days rest because they play on the Tuesday. They travel basically. Vancouver-Toronto?
Yeah,
sorry. Vancouver-Ottawa. And so they play Tuesday because of infrastructure and availability. So they are put that game's pushed to open the semifinals and then 4 days rest plus the travel, they play on the Saturday. Like that's going to be a factor.
It's a rough one.
Yeah. It's tough. Yeah,
okay. Before we dive into all of that, our women's national team concluded this window where they faced the Swiss last Friday and then yesterday the Dutch. And number 24 ranked Switzerland and number 11 ranked Netherlands. And we knew it was going to be tough tests. We knew that we had big injuries to our back line in Vanessa Gill, Khadija Buchanan, who suffered a setback on her way to recovering from an ACL. So some shrouded in a little bit of mystery there as to the nature of that injury, but not in the squad. Chloe Lacasse left at home, even on her return to play from an ACL as well. But lots of veterans in this squad, lots of players, I think, understanding what Stoney wants out of them. But two very flat, disappointing losses. So 1-0 losses in each of those contests. And Casey Stoney was quite measured and positive following the Switzerland defeat. She said it's a team in form. They're playing lots of games, be it Nations League or coming off a successful Euros, kind of where they made it out of their group and they were the hosts and it was a big success in terms of viewership and attention and visibility. So they knew they were going to be up against it. And Rusty, having not played since the beginning of July when they suffered an embarrassing 3-0 defeat to the US, where they were absolutely played off the pitch. So a lot to prove, but a team that failed to show up in each. And so she said, we created chances in the first game. We didn't capitalize. Janine Sonas was just devastated to not, I think, convert some of the opportunities that were generated. But she said, we could be tidier in possession. We need to be better at our technical execution, but we created 5 or 6 big chances. I'm going to pull the positive from it. But she did not mince words coming off the back of this loss versus the Dutch. And this is a quote. Sometimes I'll be honest, I feel like we look like little girls against women out there at times in terms of the duels. And this is a one soccer graphic who was obviously playing the game yesterday. I did not watch yesterday's contest because I was moderating a panel for The Pitch in Montreal. And I will be on the panel for the Ottawa premiere of The Pitch before Shereen. You will be doing one in Halifax and our own Kate McKenna will be moderating the Toronto premiere. That will kind of be the lead-in for the November 15th final. That's on the Wednesday night. So buy tickets if you're in those markets. Go out and see it. It's a fabulous film by Michelle Hoser and executive producer Natalie Cook. So Signe Butler, you watched yesterday's match versus sure the Netherlands. Let's go. Sigs unhinged. Let's go.
I wouldn't use the same words that Casey Stoney used, but I would definitely say that there was, I don't know what was missing, but like mm-hmm. I said to you guys before coming on the broadcast that I just think anytime you put on the Canada jersey and you're playing for the badge, you have to show up. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel that the team showed up. I said outside of Jade Revere, I thought that everybody was a step behind, like the getting pushed off the ball, not being determined on 50-50s. I do think that there's a piece of the team's identity missing with Vanessa Gilles and Kadisha Buchanan out of the lineup. Mm-hmm. I think that that's the DNA of the team. They create a certain standard back there and it permeates through the rest of the club. Our midfield got absolutely shredded, like shredded. And that's been a concern for me for a couple of years. I just don't feel like, I feel like we're not, I don't know what the word is. We're not, that's your spine. That's your, mm-hmm. that's your heartbeat. And if your heartbeat's not working, the rest of the limbs aren't working either. Right. And I just felt that the combinations that we used didn't go too well. They were too slow. Mm-hmm. In terms of decision making on the ball, in terms of like, okay, open up one touch out. Instead, it was like, get the ball. Oh, what am I going to do now? I'm going to take two touches backwards, or, you know, not turning quickly, or just, you know, maybe that was just because of the Netherlands kind of packing us into our own end, too. Like, full credit to the Netherlands performance. It's nothing against Canada, but I just think that there could have been a little bit more oomph into. Particularly the back line and particularly the midfield. Up front, you know, like if those two positions aren't doing their job, you can't really see what the strikers can do. So I'll leave that to, they didn't create enough chances, but I don't think they created enough chances because there was no build up from the back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the chances that we did create before you jump in, Shireen, versus the Swiss, it wasn't from sustained possession. It wasn't from being connected. It wasn't linking up between the lines. The combination play, there was a few between Mimi Alidou and I think Adriana Leon. In the first and the second half. But aside from that, it was long balls, either from Jade Rose on the right to Sonas on the left, or Jade Revere, like dribbling the ball, driving into space on that right flank, and then picking somebody out on a cutback or on a cross. That was the only threat. That's how it was generated.
I was disappointed. Like I was disappointed in, like, again, I do think that missing those two center backs is key to Canada's identity and the word I'm looking for is their standard, their excellence that they demand. And I think that those two players really fuel that for the team. I don't know what was going on with Ashley Lawrence. Like, I didn't see the Ashley Lawrence that we're used to seeing. And she should be in form, like in France, but I didn't see that. I don't know. And Jessie Fleming needs to find somewhere to play.
Like, I mean, she was playing more regularly for Portland, where she's not starting all the time, but she's
getting. But it's not the right league for her, I don't think. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's the right league for her. And I don't know whether she's playing the right role for Canada. Like, I kind of like her in sort of that pocket, like up, like sort of that midfield triangle, kind of like closer to the strikers. I feel like she's.
Well, that's what she's meant to be playing, Sigs. Yeah. They're meant to be playing a 4-4-2 out of possession and a 3-5-2 in possession, where she's
but we're not seeing
rolling
her
in from the right flank to try to access that pocket.
But we're not seeing her there.
No, because you're constantly on your heels defending. You're never dictating. You're never imposing yourself in any style of play.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to sort of scaffold off sick. I absolutely think this is more of a physical skill issue. I think it's a deeper one that you mentioned. I think Gilles and Khadisha Buchanan bring a tenacity and a focus and an energy to the team that just fell flat. And I mean, it starts in the back and travels through. And I love the word permeate, Sigs. So like, I agree with Signe Butler. I need to say it. It's incumbent upon me to say it every episode. So I'm saying it. But also, there was, you know, like the idea of showing up to play. And you're right, Amy Casey Stone, he was very agreeable in her comments. She, after the Swiss match, she was like talking about Shalina Zdorsky and how much contribution Shalina had. And that was good. And it was well said. But to be really honest with you, the pace of the Netherlands is different. They're sharper. They're more organized as a squad. And I felt like watching yesterday and watching, I saw only the first half and then the highlights. And I felt like Canada was completely outpaced. I thought, and later Casey Stoney alluded to this in her comments, and it was written of in a Canadian Press article, that they should literally go to the gym, is something that was paraphrased. That literally, that's what we're talking about, is fitness. And Sig, you said you're disappointed. I'm feeling really nervous. Mm-hmm. Really nervous. We are still ranked top 10. I don't know how much.
We're not going to be ranked top 10.
I'm just fucking pissed throwing another superlative in there.
Well, like, I mean, I'm nervous because this is not where Canada needs to be or should be. And Casey Stone, one more thing I'll say, has talked about in the last couple of pressers and has talked media calls, has talked about the pool, the player pool being really mm-hmm. small. And I just sort of want to unpack that for a minute because is the inference that the talent level isn't high enough, because then we see our U17s sweeping everybody. So like, what are we like? Are we talking about drawing from the youth more frequently? We've had conversations, and people that I know have had conversations with our colleagues just casually have talked about the idea of the team and this particular team, veterans being a little too comfortable. For me, there's a little too much comfort for some players on this team. The love being able
edges into complacency.
That's kind of what I'm saying. Yes, actually, I'll go there. I expect a high performance of Ashley Lawrence. High. It was a celebrated cap for her.
For the 150 team. Caps. That's a big milestone.
150. The goal, in the Netherlands goal for me was like, there's two unmarked players in the six. How is this happening? How is this happening? Like, I think things need to change quickly, and I'm not sure what piece is prioritized. Is it the mental performance piece? Is it the physical piece? Is it the connectivity? Is there a synchronicity that's lacking? And that's what I feel like. It's all of them. What do we fix first?
What's the underpinning? To go back to Signe's opening remarks, what is the DNA? What's the identity of this team? Because previously it was world-class goalkeeping. It was airtight collective defensively, but back, you know, you're not going to concede. You're resolute. You're resilient. You're hard to play against. You're physical. You have a response for every
gritty. That is there was grit.
Thrown at you. Yes, you dictate the tempo by how hard you are in every duel that's contested, every first and second ball on that pitch.
Make your opponents.
And we were played off the pitch in that regard. I don't have the stats in front of me, but the eye test in the first game was that it was well in the Swiss favor, just on the first and the second balls. And that's unheard of when you think about a Canadian team. Like Ashley Lawrence, I saw a couple of highlights and I saw a little bit of the game, but I was just listening to the audio. But I went back and I watched it, and she's shoulder barged off a ball as she's chasing back, like a shoulder to shoulder challenge. It'll happen in a game that you lose one of these challenges. You lose a 50-50, you lose a tackle. But to see us go in so passively, almost so resigned to the entire contest, and these little microcosms of each of these defeats are these battles, are these duels that previously would be unthinkable for us to lose. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so troubling to me. Is so what are we under Casey Stoney? I don't know if she truly knows because of what she has in front of her, Like, okay, I maybe want to play this type, this style of play. We previously have played tier two opponents or less, mm-hmm. and we've been able to dominate. And maybe like the warts have been smoothed over. If our technical execution wasn't up to speed, we weren't punished for it. But now you're playing better opponents. You got played off the pitch versus the US, and now you've lost to these teams that are moving up, they're ascending, whereas Canada is falling off a cliff. And it's very, very concerning. But to go back to the quote, and if anybody didn't see it, to Shireen's point about the player pool, Stoney's full quote was, I think there's an element of both, because she was asked about the Canadian women's national team needing time or personnel changes to be better connected. This is from John Molinaro. And her quote was, I think there's an element of both, to be honest, but who am I changing the personnel to? The player pool is so small. So is she referring to maybe the lack of changes, the lack of flux, the complacency piece that you were talking about, Shireen, that we saw under Bev Priestman, the loyalty that usually, I think, ended up working against her. And then now you talk about transition, the time for experimentation is over. But how can it be over when you look at the roster that's in front of you? Yes, with some injuries to notable players who are emblematic of the style that you want to espouse. But still, like, where
so I have some theories about this that are wider than the technical play. And one is this team, if you look, because I've done a lot of my reporting and analysis on the team culture and like what they've been through, this team has actually been trauma bonded for a couple of years in terms of having to fight not only the federation, but, you know, testify in front of the, you know, the Heritage Committee. Like, there's ways in which they've moved so cohesively. Exactly. Like, labor movement. There was a labor movement here we're almost got to. So
Drone gate.
So there have been huge crises that they've navigated so beautifully off pitch and as a unit. And that is no doubt one way in which they have remained united as a team. That's not translating to technical play. It's just not. And I'm not saying I want them to have a crisis. I really want these players to get some rest and be able to focus on the football, because that's probably what the missing piece is here. But when you're no longer bonded through survival, what is happening on the pitch? It doesn't look like a Canada from 3 years ago. It doesn't look like a Canada from, like, I don't know, even the summer. And even the infusion of newer players or call-ups, it wasn't making the difference. We did, obviously, you know, there was a Hunter was gone, and then Smith is not there for because of injuries. But it's not just those two players. There is a wider concern, and I think that could be something to do with it. Like, the piece that keeps them connected, what is it? And Amy, you were talking about that. What is the DNA of this team? Do they have to remold? Do they have to reestablish? It's okay for teams to, like, the U.S. women's national team has rebranded themselves very effectively, and they've sort of represented themselves and rebirthed their identity multiple times in many ways, and that's okay. Canada needs to do this now, and we're missing it, and we need a plan for it. So those are my 5 cents.
Specific to that player pool, Signa, maybe you can talk about this. Like, one big omission that everybody's talking about, if you're a fan of NSL, it was DB Pridham. And then it's a European camp, so when you have Hunter, who is sent back to club with AFC Toronto, and Olivia Smith, same thing, returns to the Gunners for an injury that looked to be much more severe than it was. As a hip pointer, she's going to be fine. But you would love to have been able to bring in a DB Pridham kind of last minute as a replacement player. You can't, just because of logistics, and she's going into playoffs with her club, with the Ottawa Rapid. Yeah. But should she have been included in the first place?
Well, I think that, you know, that's the question mark, right? I mean, Casey Stoney was the one that named her team and was confident in the players that she named to camp. That's fine. But, you know, I look at, and there's players that are unavailable. Like, I look at Annabelle Chukwu, for instance, who's having an outstanding season in the NCAA right now, as somebody that should be called in sooner than later. You know, well, whether we'll see that in the December window or not, against Japan, those two friendlies there, but, yeah, I, you know, you had a bunch of forwards who didn't score a goal in two games, didn't really create much in two games. And I just think, what was the harm? There was no harm in bringing in a player that scores 18 goals. I don't care what league you play in. You scored 18 goals.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't matter. Like, and also that's lights a fire under some other players. It lights a fire underneath Adriana Leone, Nichelle Prince, Jordan Huidema. Like, it lights a fire under some of those
competition players. To say work also, for your spot.
You earn there it. Is no guarantees now. And I think this team needs to know that. There is salty.
No, I'm saying
you're agreeing with me. Okay. Yeah. I thought you were getting salty because I was also agreeing with you. I just think there is no guarantees anymore. And I think that's where Casey Stoney needs to be. I think her like stating that statement about like girls among women, like that is a message. Like, and like, I forget who said it, like, go to the gym. But I mean, it's like, mm-hmm. go to the gym, work on, like, I don't even know what else I could say. Like, I just was, it was just not the Canada that we're used to seeing. Right.
Yeah.
So and the quote was from a CP story, a Canadian Press story. And the quote is, it's not a direct quote from Stoney, but it's the writer saying the message to her players was go back to your clubs and do the work on the field and in the gym to improve. That's literally what the writer is saying, like paraphrasing Stoney. But again, we're not saying anything that Stoney said publicly and probably privately. Like, this isn't news to anyone, but I agree with you, Signa.
Thank you. I can't hear you, Shireen.
Yeah, your internet, I think, is quite terrible. and frozen.
Yeah, she's frozen, but she's emphatic. Like, the look on her face right now is very emphatic.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, maybe we will boot.
In fact, Shireen. I want to take a picture of her.
Okay, so, I'm gonna see if I can boot her out. I don't think I can. Wait, remove from stage. Yes. Okay.
She'll be back.
Yeah, she will. Okay. There's a couple of things that I want to say. So I think I was surprised at how positive Stoney was following the Swiss defeat because they were abject. Like, it was not a good performance by her team.
It was part and parcel of them having to play another game and she didn't want to like throw everybody under the bus.
But. For sure. It's the atmosphere. It's the momentum. It's the motivation in camp. But I think it's also, you know, like protecting her players. And I also think to a certain degree, almost protecting herself and the arc that she's in or on as this coach who's been brought in for, you know, she's been in for 9 months and then she's looking towards next year, which is qualifications. And then the Women's World Cup in two. So they're about a year out from CONCACAF qualifying. Right. So that to go back, like we have concerns, I think, collectively. And I think so does Casey Stoney. But I think she goes in heavy after that defeat versus the US, right? Makes threats. If you're not playing, if you're not performing with club, you will not get called back in. And then you look at this roster and yes, notable injuries we've already talked about. But that aside, why not shake up your roster? Like, you're still a year out and you're not satisfied with the way your team's performing, then send a message. Leave some players at home.
Why? So I saw some observations from our colleagues and friends. Soccer AC, our friend, was saying in a tweet, I believe, it was AC's account, when there's only two international friendly release a year, don't shake things up. Keep it consistent to get the points, to move up. And I was thinking about that. I'm like, but that's the other point. There's not enough friendlies to, we did have four in this, like in the next couple months. There's going to be Switzerland, Netherlands, and Japan, right? But in a case where there's not enough international competition on a non-major tournament year, is it the time to shake it up? Because I think AC was arguing, if I'm not mistaken, don't shake it up right now. Let's keep it consistent to get established. That's what the argument was that I saw on Twitter.
Yeah, it could be. And also Casey Stoney on the Match Day -1 call, she was preaching continuity right? Yes. Because there was 113 days since they'd played, that there needed to be those reference points. If you're looking at the starting 11 versus Switzerland, even though it was subpar, they chance created. So let's go with the bones of that 11 again versus the Dutch. But I was thinking, go like put Holly Ward in. Why wouldn't you start Ward? You know, like do something slightly different. You go with an Ashley Lawrence who replaced Carl, who didn't have a good individual performance on the day. It wasn't the Gabby Carl that we're used to seeing, but you reward Ashley Lawrence with a subpar performance and you put her back in your 11. Yes, 150 caps, but I don't know. Put Collins in to start. I think there's a way that you can balance that. But yes, five windows, I think, on the year, whereas you used to have much more than that, you know, like much more time with the team. So anyway, let's, did you guys want to shift gears here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, looking forward to the next window where they
I'm looking forward to the next window. And if there's going to be, are we going to see the continuity, which I don't disagree with, but I just think that maybe you have a few more players in camp, like just a few more. Mm-hmm. And just add, just see how they fit in the environment. You know, hopefully, you know, Vanessa's back by then. Maybe, you know, Kadisha comes into a camp and it just at least adds that excellence around there as like an extra eyeball, just to like, I don't know. Just get some of those leaders in camp. And is this going to be controversial? Should I even say this? I don't know.
Yes.
Say it.
We're such a bad.
Jesse Fleming's the captain of the team. Mm-hmm. I need her to be the captain of the team. So if she needs to make a choice for her career to go somewhere else so that she can be more like, it wasn't her. It was not her the last two games. And if she's your captain and she's your focal point, like, I don't know. Like, do you have to make a switch? Do you have to change the armband?
Well, see, I disagree. I think that in her performances, yes, we can expect and we should expect more. But she's a quiet leader, much the way Sink was. But Sink mm-hmm. was very much lead by example, follow me into battle, into war, and I will lead you there. We will get there. And Jesse Fleming is not that.
No.
So, but she's supported in that leadership group by the likes of Kadisha Buchanan and Vanessa Gill and louder voices, a Janine Sonis.
Yeah,
Janine. You know, like players who can support and complement that type of leadership. But when somebody's required on the day, and I talked about this on One Soccer, when arguably your best player and your star in Olivia Smith is getting fucking bullied, mm-hmm. And you know, like thrown around the pitch, and there's no response, there's nobody answering for it, then that speaks volumes. And that kind of is something that's permeated throughout the small world of women's football to say, like, Canada is just going to roll over if you target their superstar.
I think that's a great point.
No one said that.
That's something that I was thinking about. Also, it gets back to the refereeing and the post-match conference. I asked Stoney, or FD minus one, sorry. I asked about the officiating, and she's like, I get fined a lot of my career for this. And she went on to say, but even part of the refereeing, the objection to the officials for Fleming to step up and defend and advocate for her players. She is a quiet leader, but there's ways in which this role doesn't, it requires loudness. It requires brashness. It requires a type of like a visceral reaction to protect your players and advocate for them. And I think Jesse Fleming is one of the most intelligent brains in football, truly superhuman being. But in this role, in this moment, is a quiet leader. You need to pivot. You need to code switch to what is required from the team for performance. And
you need the wires to touch for somebody. Yes. And somebody to fucking lose the plot.
Yes. I believe that.
Control.
I think
Vanessa, show of emotion.
Vanessa Gill does that beautifully. Yeah. And has. And sometimes we need to see that emotion for like Sig to say to light a fire under everyone. And the fire's not being lit. It's wet kindling.
But yeah. Like if Jesse Fleming were to snap
paper rolled up, like, but it's only like three pages, it's like, ah, no, we need a bit.
If Jesse Fleming were to snap, though, like, don't you think the team would be like, oh
shit?
Yep. Well, you know who has that is Shalina. And so I think you saw that in the performance that she gave, but she's the perennial hype woman, right? But for positive, like I don't see her like something else, like talking about the pitch. Again, if you haven't seen it, go see it because it's a great story, not only about how the Northern Super League was created and spearheaded by Diana Matheson and the stress and the relentless pursuit of this, but it's almost a love letter to our Canadian women's national team.
Yeah.
And in that, and in watching that epic and heartbreaking loss in London 2012 to the Americans when Cinque got her hat trick, and then that terrible call for 6 seconds was levied against Erin McLeod, and then the handball to Buddy, to Mary Evno, and then the Wambach pen to tie it, and to hear Erin describe it and everything. Dee is watching that with Anastasia at her parents' house, and you can still see the raw emotion felt by Diana as she's watching that. But something that stood out to me and made me laugh kind of through my tears was fucking Melissa Tancredi, like walking after that referee and like with her hand up, you know, like, you need a tank.
You need a tank.
Right? You need a tank. You need a Vanessa. Like you need those.
That's a bumper sticker.
Yeah, you need a tank.
You need a tank.
And it's just a picture of Tank with her finger waving.
Yeah.
But like Casey Stoney said, we don't have that type of player. And so is this a generational thing? Is this kind of where we are in development in elite football and elite sports where we're just not producing these types of personalities and characters anymore? I disagree with that. I think that's an easy out. That's an easy argument to make. You have to have that person, that character, that individual on your team who is going to be there as the barrier, as the person who's going to say like, no, you don't get to fuck around with my teammates because you're going to find out. Fuck around and find out. And
I love
Canada
that.
Always was there to put a stop. And whether it was a crunching tackle or, you know, that just word in your ear on a set piece, and I said it on One Soccer, grabbing a fistful of skin, sending a message. Like,
Amy Walsh,
you do it, you guys. When the referee's not looking, you grab that shirt, you step on the, you're wearing your six studs, you step on the laces, it hurts.
Put like an elbow in the ribs, 100%.
You do it.
100%.
And we always had a number of players who could deliver that message.
Yeah, yeah.
So whether it's overt or whether it's subtle, you are doing it. And then teams take notice and they will back off.
And there's
we don't have anybody who's doing that.
There's a psychological.
It's getting me fired up.
I know.
It's getting me fired up.
There's a psychological play that Kenisha Buchanan does. She literally plays these mind games with players. Like she's like, I am so good that I'm not even going to take you on, but in such a way that messes with them. And then she'll do something and she'll defend beautifully and effortlessly, but it's a mind game. We need some more psychological warfare and physical warfare, according to Amy. We need a little bit of that injection.
You do.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just you boil it down, it's distilled down, it's like Neanderthal, right? It's primal. That's what we need more of.
But I will say in defense of Jade Rose, because you're right, part of the identity of this team is stellar defending. She doesn't have a lot of international experience.
Nor professional.
Nor professional. And Casey Stoney said that. It's coming.
Okay, that was not a quick wrap-up of our women's national team. Forgive us, we had a lot to say. So shifting gears very, very quickly here, but we're going to dive into our matchups. But before I do that, I want to do something interesting. So the league
I like this graphic.
Obviously taking their cues from us, you guys, for their team of the season. So for our audio-only listeners, I'm going to make this screen bigger so that I can read it for you. So goalkeeper Annika Toth, you had four defenders in Colby Barnett from AFC Toronto, Ottawa Rapids, Jaleesa Harris and Olivia Scott, Montreal Rose's Stephanie Hill on five goals, so a worthy, I think, inclusion for her. Midfield three of Maggie Doherty-Howard of the Calgary Wild, Mina Lee of the Ottawa Rapid, and your Iron Woman of this season, didn't miss 1 minute for AFC Toronto, Emma Regan, and your forward front three of Kaylee Hunter, Esther Okoronkwo of AFC Toronto, and Golden Boot winning DB Pridham, 21 goal contributions, 18 goals, and 3 assists on the year. So that was voted on by the players. And I wanted more information on this. And our adept and a sleuthing reporter and journalist, Shireen Salty Ahmed, got some information for us for how this team was conceived of.
So sources close to the league essentially were saying, excuse me, minus the cough, weekly and monthly awards were voted on by the sporting directors, the SDs, six votes total, plus one media tiebreaker. And that wasn't revealed to me who that person was. And it wasn't me. While that process worked for visibility and everything, the sporting directors felt that it was a little too narrow and didn't always capture the greater league performance. So to balance that, one of the things that was included was one player from each club on the short list to ensure representation, which I think was a collective understanding. But feedback was strong that weekend performance was sometimes excluded and the model wasn't scalable for end of season awards. So for the year-end recognition, it was a pivot, shifted to a peer voting system, players voting for players and coaches voting for coaches with the only understanding and restriction that no one could vote for their own team or self, which I thought was very interesting because I 100% would have voted for myself. The aim was to widen participation, remove partiality, make it nonpartisan, if I could say, and reflect peer recognition across 100 of 153 players voted. Nice. And balanced distribution. So to give us the league confidence and engagement and perhaps fairness. So that's how that came to be.
A couple things for me. So we have a graphic up now for our audio listeners. You obviously can't see this. Everybody watching on YouTube, you can. So we've compared and contrasted the player voted team of the season for NSL with the broadcast 2025 best 11. We also have a bench, and I believe that kind of is to cover our asses, but I also think it's giving honorable mentions to players that we feel deserve it. So it's very similar. So for me, I will go first, and I'll say just first of all, just to kind of contextualize the team of the season, no representative from the Vancouver Rise. So there are a lot of Rise fans, and I imagine front office people and players who are up in arms about that, because you probably had some players who should have gotten the nod, but lots of competition. And I will just say the big omission for me, and then I'll let you guys weigh in yourselves, of the player voted team of the season is Nikki Small, who for me, for AFC Toronto, I know you had your attacking tandem in Okoronkwo and Hunter, and I think that they were on, have it written down somewhere, but ridiculous goal contributions between the two of them. I'll come back at you guys with the stats, but Regan as your iron woman at the base of that midfield, but Nikki Small was the heartbeat. She was the one that kept things ticking in that midfield. So that's a glaring omission for me from the team of the season.
I do like the fact that players voted on team of the season and the year end awards.
Yes.
Because I think it's even more weight when your peers give you that nod. So I think for, when I look at the team of the season for the NSL and I see Stephanie Hill there, and I talked about this last week on the broadcast, for me would have been the most improved player of the season. Somebody who didn't get the opportunity until Julia Lees went down, took the position, ran with it, set pieces, scoring from distance, and just even defensively, just really sharp. And shout out to U Sports, because I don't think U Sports, you know, there's not a ton of U Sports players in this league, but U Sports players are capable of playing in this league. So FYI for any U Sports listening to this, like, keep going. You do not know where your career will stop or start. And for Stephanie Hill, it's just starting. So nod there.
Can I just add a quick Steph Hill story?
Yeah.
Her mom works with my sister-in-law, Mary Beth Bowie, your good friend.
My good friend,
out in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia. So because of that link, Mary Beth gave Stephanie my number, and she called me 4 years ago when she was in her rookie season at McGill. And I didn't know her, and we just had a chat, and I was sitting on my front stoop because my kids were making too much noise. Uh-huh. And she just had a ton of questions about, you know, seizing opportunities and moving into the pro space, any advice for her. And I just said, listen, in my career, You know, I missed out on opportunities where I could have just gone out and tested my mettle and I turned it down. And that's the one regret that I have. So if you have any opportunities to play, despite whatever else is going on in your academic career or your pursuits for what you actually want to do in life aside from sport, just seize them. So I think that she has taken this and she has run with it. And I'm really proud. I'm like, my conversation has nothing to do with her arc and her improvement and her development. But I think anytime you can have that conversation, she'll probably have that chat with players who are just starting out in U sports to say, you can go to McGill and you can play pro, you can be a starter, you can be on the team of the season of NSL after coming out of McGill University. And that's pretty fucking cool.
It's awesome. That's just a great story.
It's a great story. And just, I want to add one too, Lauren Rowe. That's another example of Canadian born talent from a place that sometimes is overlooked. Shout out to The Rock. And I love that. As you know, I played, well, back in my day, it was not U Sport. It was CIAU, SIG, back in those days. I'm her mom, and I see the potential and the fire and the excitement. And I have a kid that absolutely has ambitions to play. And then, like, it gives people, without crying again, like I did when I watched the pitch, at least, to not have a place to dream is unfathomable now that we've seen what this can do. And to play professionally, to play at home, to have options. What we want for our youth, our girls, is to have options. And now they do. And you're right, Sig. I don't want people to underestimate the caliber of our city soccer in this country. Don't do that. It's high. The level is high. And I think it can only get better. So that's my little spiel about U Sport. That's my little spiel, but I love that. And Amy, don't discount what your conversation did for Stephanie. The fact that she could call up Amy Dubs Walsh and have a conversation. Like, I'm still in disbelief I get to talk to you every day. So,
stop it.
No, it's true. Like, this is part of also the culture of soccer in this country. It's still small that she can do that. And like you, you know, Ramesa reached out to both of you, my kid. And that she can do that. And I'm sure if another player from across the country, say, if someone emails you and says, hi, I'm a soccer player from Nova Scotia, you don't think Signe Baldur is going to return that email? I'd be like, how are you? You know, like, yes, she is.
Jesus, like, Murphy.
Jesus, Murphy, how are you?
You know, Jesus, like, Murphy, how'd you get my number?
got it from the cashier at Sobeys.
So, like, there's a beauty in this and a joy in this. And I'm excited. Love Stephanie Hall on this. And also, I love the peer voting. Holy shit. There's nothing I love more than collegial recognition. Holy shit.
Can I mention something, though, about the peer, like the peer voting, like our conversation with Jackie Savitsky earlier this year. And she said, like, the person she hates marking is Mina. Like, this, you know, like, that gives you an essence, like, maybe we didn't put Mina on our final 11. It's not that we didn't think Mina had a good season. Of course she did, but kind of like petered out here and there. But like, if you're playing against Mina week in and week out and you're playing against her five times, hell yeah, she's probably on this list. Right. But I would say, like, one of the other omission and ours was, like, we did the 3-5-2, which I've been making jabs about just to, like, try and fit people in.
Yeah.
I would agree with you on Nikki Small there, Dubs. But I think an omission is Grace Storty.
Tackles.
But Nikki Small and Grace Storty, like, 1-2 with tackles.
Yeah.
They battled it out.
Ironically, that's something we talked about when we were just doing the national team discussion, that kind of physicality.
I know. And this is what the NSL, like, okay, so the NSL, it's in year one, right? The player pool is going to get bigger.
Bigger.
It's going to. It's not going to get there in light speed time, but it's going to get bigger. And that's because, like, you don't have these 22-year-olds or 23-year-olds going off to play in friggin' Turkey and Serbia and all these other leagues. They get to come back home and play. And they get to play for quality coaches. The six coaches, shout out to Marko Milanovic for Coach of the Year this year. Mm-hmm. But they get to play for these phenomenal coaches in the NSL. I mean, all of them have great qualities. And we've seen some massive development in terms of players this season from day one, Amy, from calling these games day one to now. I mean, like, the growth is exponential, right? And that's just year one.
Yep, it's been pretty impressive to see. I think a lot of people were surprised at the quality, the standard from day one, and it's just continued to rise. So yeah, you mentioned Marko Milanović. That was just announced this morning, NSL Coach of the Year. Then we also have Annika Toth, who was your Goalkeeper of the Year after Morgan McCaslin was awarded the Gold Gloves for the most shutouts. We had Defender of the Year, Jaleesa Harris, very well deserved. I don't think a lot of people are going to argue with that. Emma Regan, your NSL Midfielder of the Year, and DB Pridham voted NSL Forward of the Year. And I had mentioned earlier on that combined that attacking 1-2 punch with Okoronkwo and Hunter. Hunter, 14 goals, 3 assists. Esther, 8 goals, 7 assists. So that is 32 goal contributions if you're just looking at that attacking tandem there.
It's wild.
So that is pretty formidable for AFC Toronto.
Yeah, Nikki Small, 4 goals, 6 assists.
Yep. Yeah, but this is the thing. So if we just give a little bit of airtime here to the Vancouver Rise, you look at, so I was kind of previewing this matchup. We'll actually maybe get into it. That would be a natural seg, that Vancouver-Ottawa semifinal clash. So you look at Vancouver, you've got Quinn leading the way with 12 goal contributions, 6 goals, 6 assists. Next, you have Holly Ward on 11. 6 goals, 5 assists. Latifa Abdu, 9 goals, 1 assist. DeFilippo at 9, 7 goals, 2 assists. Pachurski, a name that I think maybe unfairly gets left off here, but the competition across the front with your center forwards or your wingers or just your attacking players is so robust. Like, where are you going to fit Pachurski? Mm-hmm. Right? But I mean, and then Chang that out. So this is 6 players now on 7 or more goal contributions. So scoring by committee and playing that expansive style, but it could come from anywhere on the pitch. They can threaten on set pieces with DeFilippo. We've talked about her providing that focal point of their attack. I think, you know, I think it was you, Shireen, early on in the season, like, don't sleep on Ottawa, because like, if Vancouver's been the model for inconsistency, Ottawa's been the model for consistency. So maybe that's a good jumping off point for our discussion and how we think that matchup is going to go.
No clue.
Can I just model my shirt really fast?
Yes, we were supposed to start there. Talk about your shirt, Shireen. So there's Peace Collective dropped some merch for the NSL final, correct?
Yes. And there was a launch event. It was followed the Canadian Women in Sport It's Time report launch. Yes. Directly after the Peace Collective had it, and it was some really fun stuff. I have scarves from all the teams, and finally got Calgary because
Pronounce Calgary.
Is it Calgary?
Well, that's how you pronounce it if you're from there.
Calgary Wilda. Is that how they would say
it? Yeah, with the knee.
Wilda. I do. Talk amongst yourselves for one quick second. I have to grab something.
Okay, we can do that.
Oh, is she getting more scarves?
Give me your take on no Rise players as part of that player voted team this season.
Oh, me?
Take on that, yeah. You're the only one here.
Me?
Yeah, you.
I would say, hands down, Quinn would have been on there had they not been hurt this year. Because the last half of the year, Quinn was outstanding. Holly Ward, surprised maybe Holly Ward wasn't on there, because I think she's been like one of the success stories of the NSL. So really shocked that she's not. But again, I'm just going to say this. The players are voting on these things, right? Like, do the players have something against Vancouver? Is the rest of the league have something against the Vancouver Rise?
Dun, dun, dun.
Stirring the pot here, but
I know, I mean, sorry. I will say, and also like, scaring people by, you could just see the wrinkles in my forehead.
The FIFA Pro player voted, shortlist for that team of the year. I mean, that is a hot mess as well, right? So it's like, are players voting for friends? Are they actually watching any other women's football? Like, it's, I think you can look at a bunch of different or point to a bunch of different issues, right?
Totally. A lot of
the best of both worlds, right?
Media. A lot of people are fired up for the playoffs now. They're going to be like,
was it you that said the fact that they're not, the Rise isn't on this could actually incentivize Vancouver and their performance. I love tension. We love tension. Like, I love these storylines. Also, thank you for noting, Ames, that early in the season I did say don't sleep on Ottawa. The reason I have this ball also purchased at Peace Collective. I love this league. I love this league. I've also become poor because of this league. And I will say the reason it took me so long to get a Calgary scarf is because I didn't want to pay the shipping. I'm so exhausted of paying shipping. Okay. But so I had it physically brought. Thank you, MJ, for Marina and Amy to bring it to me. But I don't have a Rapid scarf, and I will buy one, but I'm a brown mom. There's only so much shipping I can pay. But I did get to compensate for that because I don't want Tom Gilbert to be mad at me. Because we've already had some exchanges.
Yeah, he's already mad at us.
He's already mad at us for not getting to
love you, Tom. To
Lansdowne. Yeah, love you, Tom. So the ball that I got, I love a replica ball. I love a little replica ball. I got one with Rapid. So I have all
those. Are adorable. Scarves. That's aren't cute. They're
so cute. So I got this also available at Peace Collective. People, buy the merch. The caliber, and also this design, I do want to say, was not only it's a collaboration of Peace Collective, but also Kelly Shouldis and Danny, whose name I'm forgetting right now. Ponticelli.
Yeah. Partnerships, yeah, with the league.
Partnerships. They helped tweak the design. So they're also partnerships / designers. Ooh, like it. And it's really beautiful. You've got D cup on here.
D cup right on your D cup.
I love
By the
you.
Way, I saw Dee Dee yesterday and we were talking about, nicknames for the Diana B. Matheson cup. And yeah. She's like, she kind of looked at me the way that she does, a little rather wryly. And she's like, not going to lie, I think the D cup is sticking as a nickname. I was like, yes, as it should.
She likes Lady Di. And we're like, you can call it what you want. Diana Beverly Matheson, we're still going to call it D-Cup.
That's right. The Bev. All right. Listen, this matchup, guys. So how's it going to go? I don't know. Is not good enough. I don't need you guys
sorry about that.
Or pick a winner, but like, what are we looking at? Because when I was doing a deep dive into, the five matchups over the course of the year, evenly split, and it's either a barn burner, to use a favorite Signe Butler expression, where it's 3-3 scoring at the death, or it's a 3-2 win, somebody's just eking it out. And it's kind of like two heavyweights slugging, or like rope it open, somebody comes up on top, or it's like a decisive 3-0 victory, like Ottawa Rapid playing a slightly different style, more direct, more route one. It was the last time they were at Swan Guard and they won by 3 goals. It was an emphatic win. So I don't know what we're going to get. But I think that we're going to get a highly motivated Vancouver Rise team who are looking to defend their home turf.
Yes.
Absolutely. I think, sorry to jump in first, but I think playing this tough schedule, it's tough on both teams. Obviously, they both have to travel, right? Tougher on Ottawa. As the second place team, here's your prize. You get to go to Vancouver on 4 days, 5 days rest and come back and play. So, I mean, there's that factor that's going to be a big one. I do think Vancouver's healthy in the midfield, which is having talked to players throughout the season. This is what Vancouver's midfield is. Highly regarded across this league, across the players in this league. So I'm actually surprised none of them made the final 11. But to play against this midfield, a healthy midfield, I think is going to be tough. I like the way you said that, Amy, that they can – I think there's parts of the season where we kind of criticize Vancouver for being inconsistent, didn't have goal scoring, but really came – we saw that really change throughout the season. Like they can score in multiple ways. The eight game unbeaten run, yeah.
Invincible.
Prime example.
All came crashing down.
Prime example. The advantage, though, I will give on Ottawa's side to the wing play. And I think that will be a factor in this series because Vancouver's back line has been decimated with injury. Yeah. I don't know where they're at. I don't know if Kennedy Faulkner's in or out for the playoffs. I don't know. Jess Cowart's been the only like regular there at center back. Jasmine Spencer, obviously at left back. They've rotated that right back position, although it looks like Okamoto's in there now. But Ottawa can run four to six wing players, and they're all different looks. And somebody can play for 60 minutes, somebody can play for 30 minutes, and they will bleed your legs dry. Like they will, like your legs will be burning because they run on rails and they're shifty. And so I think that's maybe where this game is decided is in that wing play. If Ottawa is able to score, Ottawa's back line, I think is solid as a rock. Mm-hmm. So Vancouver being able to score from multiple ways, they're going to need to because, yeah, I think it's a really evenly matched series. Sorry if that was kind of boring and I went through like five scenarios.
No, it's great. I'll say real quick, I think that mitigating that central penetration versus like all of that attacking threat, I went and I named like seven or eight players who contribute to the attack. Like the combination play, the wingers tucking in, whether you're Ward or Pachursky, and then getting the overlaps from Spencer and Okamoto bombing on, and the wide overloads that they create, the threat there attacking the box, DiFilippo, who can head in on whether it's set pieces, dead balls, or just those crosses coming in from the flanks. If you have Harris and Scott and then Gibson and Desi Scott in front of them, like Kate McKenna and I nicknamed them the core four, like that box there, if they're able to stand tall and push them outside and kind of keep them tame in their attack, like take a little bit of the bite out of it, I think that they can neutralize what Vancouver throws at them and then transitionally hurt them with what you mentioned, Signa, with the pace, with the relentless kind of attacking minded players, whether it's Forbes, Friedland, Belzile, or Downing. You know, like that goal that they scored, it was service from Dagenet, their goalkeeper, a flick on from DB Pridham into Downing on space, one-on-one versus McCaslin, just passed it in. Like, I think that Katrina Peterson might go that same route as they come in as the visiting team to Swongard.
And why not? Because I don't think you want Quinn in there painting the pitch like they can do. Because as soon as Quinn's able to open up this game and, and Chang too, they're able to just shred you. Mm-hmm. So if you avoid that altogether, play a little bit transitionally, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's about getting through. It's about getting the win. It's about getting the win.
It's also, I like the way also this usage of space, because you're right. Vancouver's middle is really hot right now and using the space. And I think Katrina Peterson reads that really well. I'm really excited about these particular matchups. Like, I'm very excited about it because I think that the underlining themes and narratives and storylines in these two things, like, I'm excited that these are the semis. And I'm excited that's not one round of knockoffs. I love that it's two leg. I really am excited. Have I said excited repeatedly? No, you just because... I love playoff time. I think it's really fun. I'm excited to see the players and how they act. Also, players are coming back from international window. So I think in addition to not just travel for Vancouver, but players coming back from international play may be tired. And that's also something to consider. There's not like a huge amount of them, but particularly for Toronto, there's call-ups, there's people that have been traveling that have been showing up for
injured
international duty. We've got a couple, I don't know the status of Kaylee Hunter. I should probably text and find out, but there's all these things that I'm thinking about. We'll probably find enough soon enough on a call, but my point is, I think this is great. I can't wait to see what all the commentary is and the buzz about it. And if you're listening, make sure you tune in. Mm-hmm. It's going to be incredible. I know there's a tremendous amount of excitement around it. People are excited about the final. I'm literally wearing a t-shirt that says final. However, don't sleep on these semis.
No.
That's right. Tune in and go buy your tickets. Go show up in person. Like to that contest. So 12 p.m. kickoff. It's an earlier one. I know the Owls are playing at 2 p.m. Anybody in a Montreal market, get out and support the Roses. It's going to be their only regardless of how they do, their only playoff matchup at home. So go out and support them in person. But I think Shireen very aptly stated about the impact potentially to Supporters Shield winning, like run it our way, but they ran the freaking table on everybody this year, right? So like it's theirs to lose, I think. And then with Hunter maybe carrying a knock, Okoronkwo coming back from the Super Falcons off of international duty, same thing with Emma Regan, who played very significant minutes with our women's national team. How are they affected on a team where Milanovic Sigs doesn't shake things up very often? He has that 11 that he likes and he sticks with it.
You know, I think the way that they loaded up at the summer transfer deadline is obviously added depth to the roster. But when you can add in players like Stratagakis and Burns and a healthy Victoria Pickett, I mean, Pickett hasn't seen the pitch, right? Like since some of those transfers have come in, and that's the quality of player that they have coming off the bench.
Deep bench.
Whether he goes to the bench or not is another thing, but like he has the ability to go to quality players off the bench. And that, you know, again, the back three has been pretty solid, but I think that if there's any kind of Achilles heel on AFC Toronto, it's the back three. And it's not any disrespect to the players. It's the opponent figuring out how to create those, like the overloads. Amy, Montreal's played Toronto very well this year. It's been a very even matchup. The Toronto holding 3-2.
Yes, exactly.
With that last game of the season and Marko Milanovic saying, oh, I didn't want to give up too much to Robert Rossitoyou. We didn't want to give up too much because this could indeed be who I play in the playoffs. And lo and behold, that's who's playing against each other. So, and Montreal's got, they had some health issues going into that last, the last game. So I don't think any of those were like long-term injury concerns. I think they were niggles, and this has given them a chance to be healthy. And they've been a very consistent team this season.
And stingy defensively. They've conceded the least amount of goals, only one less than AFC Toronto, who have obviously scored bags more. But I think Montreal can frustrate them. And if they can do that for a half, they can do that for an hour, and they can get something, especially with Bilbao playing a little bit higher up. I think Hess has done incredibly well. She's been a really consistent performance piece for Montreal. Yeah. And if you go back to July, and this is all I'll say on it before I pass it to you, Shireen, that is the blueprint, I think, for success for Montreal when Sauvé got that winner outside the box. And so he flip-flopped Sauvé and Boychuk. That's when they still had Abdu. So they had kind of a target number nine to play with, and it would allow them to drop Boychuk to the wing, and he played them inverted. And they played a suffocating press. And AFC Toronto were unable to get out of their own end. Those wingbacks stayed pinned back deep, and Montreal were able to capitalize. But Chirim's kind of gone off the boil a little bit. I think Boychuk, 6 goals, 4 assists. I think, Shireen, you talked last week about how valuable you think she has been not only to her team, but to the league. I want to see a Boychuk backflip, you guys. So if she can get on the board, maybe at home, another round off backhand spring for that home crowd, I think that would be great for the league, but great for them to go into Toronto and really put the pressure on the Supporters Shield winning AFC Toronto.
And more widely, in addition to that, I agree with everything. I'm really happy they're starting at Stade Boreal. I'm really happy the first match is going there. I think there's a way in which that crowd bolsters them, bolsters Boychuk. And I think that I want to see a little bit of a rejuvenation in the tenacity that Montreal started with. Because a little bit in the season, there was some bumps, there was some drama, there was everything we love about, you know, storylines in women's soccer. But it's playoff time. And yes, the Supporters Shield was won by AFC, but y'all, it's the playoffs. No guarantees on anything. And that's why we love this so much, is because who knows? I love predictions. Sometimes I off record predict with you guys in the group chat. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't dare. Actually, that's not true. I've predicted lots of things to both of you, but not on record. But my point is, I'm hesitant to come up with a number or an idea just because I have no idea which way it'll go. And the chaotic in me loves this excitement. because I can't even predict. Amy's just gone through in like the our actuary, Amy, to go through and list this and do that. Like, I am just like,
like literally.
It's very
like,
Muppet, like.
It's like going to watch a match with Shireen, and you're like sitting next to her, and she's like, "Signe, commentate the game," and then I'm like, "No," and so she starts, and she's like, "Ah, wow, wow, wow."
That's literally, we were in the box, Signe and me, for a Tides match, and I screamed. I thought I screamed quietly, but apparently not.
It was not your inner voice.
It wasn't my inside voice.
I feel you on that, though, because sometimes being on the call, and Signe, you can attest to this, is sometimes I am overly exuberant, and there are things that escape my mouth that I wish I could keep kind of more contained and more reined in, but there are outbursts.
Come on. It's kind of like my sound effects, which I think we should put into like a ringtone.
I would love them as a ringtone. So I'm going to put you guys in the spot, basically just because Shireen said, I don't want to do it. I can't
make the predictions.
Well, I don't want you guys to predict the winner, but who is the final going to be? Who's going to emerge from Vancouver and Ottawa and Montreal and Toronto?
I'll tell you a little something.
Yep.
There's going to be teams in this league that don't want it to be Toronto, Vancouver. Because I think that's what a lot of people thought ahead of the season, was that it was automatically going to be Toronto, Vancouver, and we don't need to play the season. Okay, I'm not saying that I said that. I did not. I'm just saying what I'm hearing from other people is I think people do not want to see Toronto, Vancouver because it was pre-written ahead of the season on paper. Games need to be played. I think the health of teams is very important at this stage of the season. So I think the health of teams through a two leg is also is going to play a factor. I think it's AFC Toronto's, they won the table. They need to be in the final. If their season meant anything, they need to be in the final.
Mm-hmm. I think if they were one-offs, single elimination semifinals, I think that you might see some disruption.
Right.
I think maybe then you would see a Vancouver-Montreal final. But I think because it's over two legs, I think in Ottawa, the consistency will prevail. They will emerge from that semifinal. And AFC Toronto, because they've been so thoroughly dominant, they will emerge by scoring more goals, even if they lose one of the legs. You know what I mean? Like that will be the decisive factor, will be how menacing, how threatening, how much potency they have in that attack. They will be able to outscore anything that Montreal throws at them or even any mistakes on the back end.
The way they run off back line, the way they create is intimidating. But I'll tell you, Robert Rossatoyou, though.
I know. Yep.
He's a great tactician. And
he is.
And I think that's going to be a great. I think that's going to be a great series. I think they're both going to be great series.
No, I don't want to come up big too.
Events. Remember that first opening game, that terrible mistake by Katembo. Boychuk pounces on it, and then they were able to withstand the assault the rest of the game, and it was very much off the back of Karpenko. So a hot goalkeeper, right, might change things.
Sorry, Shireen. What do you have on your head?
I don't want to be obvious at all in my selections for a possible final. I don't want, I'm just adjusting my hijab. And I just wanted to point out, I love the smell of this soccer ball. And I do want to point out, like me, this was made in Pakistan, like 90% of football played in the world. So I just wanted to point this out. I'm very subtle in the way that I do things. But I am excited. I agree with
everyone. For our audio listeners, can you please describe what you just looked like so that they know?
I took an AFC scarf and put it on top and layered my hijab style and held up my NSL replica ball with an Ottawa Rapids FC logo just to subtly model the things.
You just set more fire under the Rise's butt.
I know. Purposely. but also I will get philosophical for a second and be like, oh my god,
wrap on that because we're at an hour 8, so go on.
Hope you're listening it on 2.5 today.
Yeah, whoever gets there and wins, this has been a win for women's soccer in Canada, and I am so fucking excited about the final and the season. I can't believe it's over. Luckily, it'll start again sooner before we know it, and we'll be talking about plans for season two. But I'm so happy for everybody, start to finish, top to bottom, everybody. And I'm so excited, and I will continue to be unfettered in my joy about this. So
love it.
Love the way that's
nothing to add.
No, no
exclamation point and way to sum up a great episode where we got emotional and raw and visceral about our women's national team and this and the state of it.
Okay, I can't take the photo if I'm doing the heart. How do I do it?
Of doing a heart. The current generation would be
because
so
because we love all of you for listening.
Yes,
to us thank for you. An hour yes. And 10
Cheers
minutes.
for listening and watching, and what we'll do for the YouTube or the YT, as Dan Wong refers to it, we'll package it up into two separate drops. So we'll have a women's
YT. National.
Yeah, that's what he calls
that's,
YouTube.
That's what I call white people. The YT.
Well, he's not a white person, but he's definitely a boomer. So we'll leave it there. So we'll have a women's national team drop. Where we get, I think, collectively salty on the broadcast about the state of affairs with our women's national team, and then another half hour drop about our predictions for the first ever NSL playoffs, two-legged semifinals over the course of the next couple of weeks, and then culminating in that final on November 15th at BMO Field. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for putting up with us. Thank you for following us and chiming in, liking, commenting. We appreciate you. And that will also continue to grow as this league grows, right? Our little women's sport community, women's soccer community, we want that to be booming. Not necessarily with boomers, but booming. We like that. Cheers for watching and listening. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for broadening your horizons with us.
Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @footy_prime and on Instagram at @footyprimeig. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Bye.
Bye.
Farewell.